Welcome to BioTime, a podcast to help you pass high school biology and understand the science of life. My name is Chris, and I'm your host today. Today, we will be going over Darwin's theory of natural selection. We will first begin by discussing his trip on the HMS Beagle. Then we will move on to the five major points in his theory of natural selection. And then we'll close out with a discussion on Lamarckian views on evolution and why they're incorrect. Let's first discuss his voyage. In 1831, he set sail on the HMS Beagle for a trip which included stops in South America, Australia, and the southern tip of Africa. And along this route, he was able to see and observe common patterns in plants and wildlife that eventually led to his theory of natural selection. And out of all the places he visited, the most monumental site was the Galapagos Island, where the infamous finches are found. Here, Darwin was able to closely study the finches and make his breakthrough discovery. And now that we understand the journey that led up to his brilliant theory, let us discuss the five major points that make up his theory of natural selection. The first is that populations tend to grow exponentially, or in other words, grow too fast. Since populations are capable of creating more offspring than their environments can hold, overpopulation occurs, which eventually leads to the population running out of food, water, space, and other necessities. This idea was actually inspired by Thomas Malthus, and he was a reverend who wrote an essay on the principle of population. In this revolutionary piece, he discusses how humans themselves have created famine, disease, and war due to overpopulation, and this is directly reflected in Darwin's theory, as when a population grows unchecked, it will run out of resources, leading to competition between individuals. And this transitions us into our second point, as overpopulation leads to the struggle for existence, or in other words, competition. Every individual in a population will need to struggle to survive in the face of the absence of essential resources. So for example, if a rabbit population overpopulates and there's no more carrots left, the rabbits will need to battle it out against each other to see who gets the carrots and who's going to survive. And at the end of the day, we all know that the fittest rabbit will live. And this brings us to our third point, variation among populations. Variation in a population allows for the weak to be weeded out and the strong to come out on top, as it creates a difference between them. And this relates back to the second point where we discussed the struggle for existence, as variation is really what allows for a certain species to improve and evolve and eventually survive and make it on. And we should be grateful, as without variation, species would just never change and they wouldn't be able to adapt to their surroundings and they'd eventually die off. And variation allows for populations to get stronger, faster, or eventually develop whatever traits are beneficial for them. The fourth point is that only the fittest individuals pass on their traits. This is quite logical, as only the individual with a beneficial trait will survive, while an individual with a weaker trait will die off. And for example, if a population of rabbits was preyed on by coyotes, it is most likely that the rabbits with longer legs would be able to make it out alive, allowing them to have time to reproduce. But the rabbits with shorter legs would get eaten before they have a chance to reproduce. So over the course of many years, the population will eventually only consist of long-legged rabbits. The fifth and final point is that evolution occurs when a trait is common in a population. A misconception some people have is that an organism changes in response to its environment. In reality, it's actually the frequency of an allele that leads to population changes. As if you think about it, in order for a general population to be able to evolve, just one long-legged rabbit reproducing would not be enough in a population of 99 other short-legged rabbits reproducing. You would need a substantial ratio of long-legged rabbits to short-legged rabbits in order for the majority of newborn rabbits actually carry the long-legged trait. Now let's get on to our final topic. What is the Lamarckian view and why is it wrong? Lamarck developed his own theory of evolution, which involved acquired traits. And acquired traits are traits acquired in an organism's lifetime that can be passed on to its offspring. To put this very bluntly, if you break your arm right now, your kids will not also be born with broken arms. And the example that AP tends to give is the one on giraffes. Lamarck believes that since a giraffe is constantly straining its neck to reach leaves in a tall tree, it's going to end up stretching its own neck to become just a little longer over the course of its lifetime. And Lamarck then believes that this slightly longer neck will be passed on to its offspring, and as this cycle continues of giraffes stretching to get to these leaves, and their necks stretching to get longer, and then their offspring getting this stretched neck, he believes that this leads to giraffes having long necks. But this is seen as a joke now, and we all know this is incorrect. And make sure that on the AP test, you avoid answers that rely on these Lamarckian concepts. And that wraps it up for this podcast on Darwin's voyage on the HMS Beagle, the 5 points that make up his theory of natural selection, and why Lamarck's theory of evolution was incorrect. Thanks for listening, everyone.